an exploration for the past two Sabbaths through the what Jeremiah calls the new covenant. Jeremiah the prophet lived about 600 years before the beginning of the Common Era, about 600 years before the birth of Yeshua. And Jeremiah was a prophet that had one of the, I think every prophet had a tough job, but he had it the worst. In Jeremiah 11, he wrote to his people, he declared, "You have broken the covenant. You have broken your relationship with God. There has been a great divorce between God and his people." And most of the things that Jeremiah has to say are tragic, sad, and only have hope through desperation, through exile, actually. It is through exile and separation from God that Israel will ultimately discover a return to the Lord. There is no separation from God without return. There is no exile in God's purposes without renewal and restoration. And so Jeremiah calls this something special that Israel has to look forward to, a new covenant. It's found in Jeremiah 31, and it is for us as Messianic believers, as a Messianic Jewish synagogue, it is the benchmark scriptural text to understand and begin to define, in addition to what our Hazen this morning said about the book of Romans. Jeremiah describes what for us is the primary source text for who we are. Jeremiah 31 says, "The days are coming when I will create a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, because they have broken my covenant." God says, "Though I was a husband to them." There's that marriage language. "Though I was a husband, they have filed for separation. They've broken the relationship." So God says, "I'm going to create a different kind of relationship." And the book of Hebrews says it will be founded on better promises. Jeremiah says it will have Torah, but this time Torah will be placed within God's people. It will be written on their heart, and it will be put in their mind. God's instruction will be embedded within his people. And another one of the promises that we've discussed in the last couple of weeks is that they will all be my people, from the least to the greatest. They will know the Lord. And then finally, the promise that I will not only forgive their sin, but I will remember their iniquity no more. This is the only place in the prophets where a Brit HaKadoshah, a new covenant is promised. This is what Messiah initiated and established. Remember at the last Seder, Messiah took the cup of wine and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." This is the new covenant. My blood, my sacrifice, is how the new covenant was and is to be initiated, Yeshua meant. Every covenant required an initiating sacrifice, and we can do that study of covenants that was made, for instance, in Genesis 15 between God and Abraham, or Exodus 24, the covenant at Mount Sinai between Israel and God. Yeshua was the sacrifice to initiate the new covenant. That is why Messiah died, was to initiate the new covenant that God promised to the people of Israel. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've unpacked some of these ideas and some of these beautiful themes and promises. I want to just recap a couple more things, and then I want to talk about how the scriptures of the new covenant apply to the Torah that God promised through Jeremiah. First of all, it's interesting that the new covenant was made, promised, and was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It's amazing that it was the same people that God made the covenant with at Mount Sinai. God was not rejecting his people. God has never rejected his people, Israel. Instead, he was putting relationship on new terms. Same relationship, same people, new terms of the relationship. In other words, the new covenant salvation that Messiah died in order to initiate, to enact, was on behalf of his people Israel. He died for the people of Israel. Remember how he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I long to gather you," as my wife says, like little chickens. It's kind of like we're all chickens. Messiah longs to gather us like chickens under his wings for protection and security and sustenance and nourishment. Messiah said, but I weep and I mourn because you're not willing. And so Messiah died to initiate that new covenant for Israel to have relationship on new terms, on better promises, as Hebrews chapter 8 calls it. Isn't it interesting that, therefore, every Christian that has ever been in relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and has come into salvation with Messiah Yeshua is also in relationship with the Jewish people? All the Baptists, every Catholic, every Pentecostal, each one of those of you sitting here that aren't Jewish, those among us here that are Christians, you have entered into relationship with Messiah through the new covenant. There's no other way to be in relationship with God. Yeshua didn't initiate any other kind of covenant except the one that God created for Israel and the Jewish people. In other words, you are in the Jewish New Covenant. There's no Baptist New Covenant. There's no Presbyterian or Catholic New Covenant, or any other fill in the blank. In fact, all the Methodists are in relationship with the Jewish people. And including all those denominations that, Christian denominations that try to separate themselves from the geopolitical country of Israel. Some of them, one of the denominations I named about 30 seconds ago, at one of their recent international meetings, considered banning and boycotting businesses that do business in Israel. And some other denominations have actually taken that step to do that. It's not my point here to discuss that, but what they don't realize is that there is no other salvation, there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be redeemed and delivered and saved, but Yeshua, who initiated the new covenant. You are in the Jewish new covenant. Amazingly, and actually very beautifully, for those of us here that are not Jewish by birth, that's the only way you can be Jewish, is if you had a Jewish grandmother or grandfather, it's very beautiful that the relationship that you have with God is what God created for the Jewish people. That's particularly beautiful for Christians, for us to consider in our relationship with Christians, is that Christians actually have something very precious that God has constructed and crafted for his own people, the people of Israel. For those of you in that category, you are experiencing a foretaste. You're experiencing of what it's like to be brought near before actually national Israel actually gets to experience this. What an amazing mercy and kindness that God has given. The new covenant is Jewish. The new covenant is a Jewish covenant. As we've talked about a couple weeks ago, it did not replace the covenant that God made at Mount Sinai. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. So tell me, what is, it says that God would put his Torah in our being and write it on our heart. What is Torah? First of all, what does the word Torah mean? God's instruction. That's right. Though your scriptures will often translate it as, your Christian scriptures will often translate it as law, it doesn't mean law. It means instruction. Where do you find Torah in the Bible? What parts of the Bible would you describe as Torah? The first five books? Okay. It's a good answer. Anybody else have an addition to that? Oh, very good. That was very good. And that is too, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. What is Matthew 5, 6, and 7? The drash on the mountain, commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. It's very interesting. Where was Moses when he got the tablets? He was on Mount Sinai. He was on a mountain. Very interestingly, Yeshua gives us that drash, that exposition, while he's on a mountain. Matthew is trying to connect us to think, oh, he's like Moses. He's up on a mountain and he's giving us instruction and teaching. Very good. Think of it this way. You have the five books of Moses, and they are the core of the Bible for both Jews and Christians. And then think of concentric circles moving out, like ripples in a pond, maybe. You have layered around the Torah, you have the prophets. And then you have the writings, which collectively those things make up the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, if you will. But you said something very beautiful. You said everything from Genesis, all the instruction from Genesis to Revelation. But that adds other ripples, other concentric circles. The drash on the mountain that Yeshua gave in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. The writings of Rabbi Shaul, those form a ripple of understanding. Those are all layers of commentary on the first five books of the Bible. Why do we read from the Torah scroll Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, year after year? Because we want to immerse our lives in that. Everything else is commentary. And then even the New Covenant scriptures are commentary on the Tanakh. In light of Messiah, what do we do with the Torah, the writings, and the prophets now that Messiah has come? How does Messiah expand another ripple of our understanding of Torah? What I'm trying to set you up for something. Trying to help you understand that even the New Covenant scriptures should be seen as Torah. Exodus and Leviticus is Torah. We get instruction in the prophets. And yes, we even learn amazing things in the Psalms that teach us about Torah. Psalm 119, talking about Torah, says, God's word, his Torah, is a light to my feet and a guide to my path. But even the book of Matthew or the book of Acts, the book of Ephesians, the book of Revelation, is also Torah. Have you ever thought about the scriptures of the New Covenant, or what we call the Besorah, the good news? Have you ever thought of it as Torah? After all, think of Romans chapter 8. Let me give you some examples. Romans chapter 8 speaks of the, in your common translation, it's going to speak of the law of the spirit and life that overcomes the law of sin and death. There, Rabbi Paul is speaking of the Torah of the Spirit, the Torah of life. The good news of Messiah, Paul says, is Torah. To observe Torah, you need to understand Messiah and Messiah's teaching. What did Messiah say? Messiah at one point said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So you mean Yeshua gives us Torah as well? Yeshua gives us commandments. The Hebrew word is mitzvot. So if we're going to observe God's mitzvot, we need to understand that Messiah gives us Torah. Together in our liturgy a little earlier, as we were led in prayer, we recited from Matthew where Yeshua said, not one bit of God's instruction will disappear. And in fact, if you practice as if it has, or teach others that it has, you will be, you know, you'll be least, you'll be very little in the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 8, the book of Hebrews chapter 8, contains the longest quote, the longest single quote from the Tanakh that appears in the Messianic writings. From Matthew to Revelation, the Messianic writings quote the Tanakh repeatedly over and over and over again. And I hope you have a good Bible that actually has notes at the bottom that point that out. And even times, by the way, when the text isn't quoting something directly, it's often there in parallel, in the spirit of something that came from the Psalms or the prophets, for instance. The longest single quote in the entire New Covenant writings is in Hebrews chapter 8. Isn't it interesting that the longest quote from the Tanakh is this passage from Jeremiah that we've just been talking about? So, here's your trivia. When somebody says, ask you, what's the longest quote from the Torah in the New Covenant scriptures? You'll go, Jeremiah 31, quoted in Hebrews 8. It's appropriate that it's the longest single quote. It goes on for like, I don't know, six verses or something. Look at verse 6, Hebrews 8. It says, but now Yeshua has obtained a more excellent ministry. He's talking about Yeshua's priesthood, which we spoke about a little bit last week, about how Yeshua could be a priest who could bring the forgiveness promised in the New Covenant. So Yeshua has obtained a more excellent ministry as he is the mediator of a better covenant and better promises. There's a verb in your Bible. It says, a mediator of a better covenant. What does it say about better promises? I'm asking. Tell me. What? Established on better promises. Does somebody else have a different translation?
Enacted.
That's the two most common. Enacted on better promises, established on better promises. Okay. Does anybody in the room have the Jewish New Testament translation? Oh, nobody. Okay, right. Well, that's what I have here too. I have our Messianic Jewish version. So nobody in the room has the Jewish New Testament.
Is it the complete Jewish?
Yeah, that's the Jewish New Testament translation was put together by David Stern in an existing. He translated from Matthew to Revelation. He called it the Jewish New Testament. So would you read that verse then in David Stern's translation?
In verse 7.
Verse 6.
But now the work Yeshua has been given to do is far superior to theirs, just as the covenant he mediates is better. For this covenant has been given as Torah on a basis of better promises.
Okay. So, a better covenant because... Read that last phrase again. This covenant has been given as Torah on better promises. He is the only... I'm not a huge fan... Can we say this publicly going on record with the little recording? I've never been a fan of David Stern's translation for a variety of reasons, but he is the only translator that translates that verse correctly. No Christian translation that I'm aware of, not even our beloved Tree of Life Messianic version translates the verse that way. And what?
Mine says it. It says, but now Yeshua has obtained a more excellent ministry insofar as he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises.
Well, right.
So is that what you're saying?
But... The verb enacted or established is not what, and we don't need to get into a language lesson. I'm sorry, what? It's not right, what Vic said. It's not what the Greek says. The Greek uses a verb that is elsewhere, always translated in connection with the giving of Torah or the giving of God's law. Even our beloved Tree of Life version, I think, has kind of gone along with the prevailing way that the book of Hebrews has been translated for hundreds of years. So again, the regular translation, even the one in front of me, says, a better covenant which has been enacted or established on better promises. The Greek original actually says that Messiah is the mediator of a better covenant. And then the verb is given as Torah, or given as law, which, of course, we already established a few minutes ago that Torah is a better translation than law. The covenant that Messiah has brought, this better covenant, what Jeremiah calls a new covenant, it is given as Torah. It's given as Torah. It's given as Torah on better promises. Messiah brought a better covenant as Torah. A friend and mentor of mine just brought this to my attention a couple weeks ago. And I went back and I looked actually in David Stern's, who read that? You read that. I went back and I pulled David Stern's commentary off my shelf. And you know what? I discovered where my friend got it. His point. It was from David Stern's commentary. And David Stern pointed out that nobody ever translates the Greek verb this way. But Hebrews is telling us that Messiah has not that God has not enacted or established a better covenant, but he's given a better covenant as Torah, because that's what the Greek verb means. So Yeshua is Torah. Paul is Torah. The book of Hebrews here is Torah. If you want to be observant of Torah, you need to know Messiah. You need to understand how Messiah brings Torah to its highest level. You know, remember my image of concentric circles? You have the Torah and the writings and the prophets. Messiah fills it up. Messiah brings it to the fullest. If you want to understand the message and the teachings of God, you must know Yeshua. You must be in relationship and understanding this mediator that brings a covenant to the same people, the same content, but he brings it fuller. And Messiah adds certain things. Can you think of a command that Messiah gives us that wasn't in the Tanakh? Love one another. Very good. Or be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer. So don't be anxious about anything. That's Torah. How about abide in the vine? John 15. That's Torah. What?
He fulfilled the promises from the Torah.
No. He brought them to their highest understanding. And he gave us more commandments. He gave us new commandments that we need to understand that they are Torah. We need to understand how to walk in obedience to the commands that happen in, like you said, from all the way to Revelation. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a Torah command. Do nothing with grumbling and complaining. Yeah, I know. I mean, sometimes these Torah commandments bite us in the hiney. I thought that as we went through this exploration of the new covenant that God promised and how Messiah enacted it, I knew we needed to come to this to help us to really punch this through, not to use an aggressive metaphor, but to help us understand that Messiah gives us Torah. The covenant that he has brought us is a better covenant given by God as Torah. If you want to be Torah observant, it includes Yeshua. Don't abandon Yeshua in your quest to be Torah observant. Don't pursue Torah observance without Messiah. So, let's pray. Avinu, our Father, I pray that you'd be our teacher. And I thank you indeed that you have given us your Spirit that promises that he will teach us, lead us into truth, will convict us and show us your truth, Lord. I pray that as a congregation, we'd have that wisdom and that we'd have that ability to walk together in living out the teachings of Messiah. The understanding of Moses and Torah, yes, certainly, but also how that is reflected and deepened and broadened in Messiah, including those commands that we find from the Messiah that aren't included in Moses. Lord, I pray that that you would do this mighty work of the new covenant in our hearts and lives. Thank you that all of us, whether we're Jewish or not Jewish, all of us have entered into this beautiful thing that you have created, this Brit HaChadashah, this covenant that you've made for Israel. And, of course, it is the purpose of and goal and life of our congregation is to see the restoration of Israel, Israel walking fully in the light of and in the power and the provision of this new covenant. Lord, what an awesome responsibility and an amazing beauty that you've given us to carry. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, make us moldable, shape us, Lord, we pray. Cause us to obey Messiah's words, because we're all here because we love Yeshua. Lord, teach us how to obey. And even those things that are tough and hard, help us and support us and carry us and train us. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen.